In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you. I am going to repeat the talk we had yesterday because it was not coming across, and it'll be a little different today. And it's all about the witness to love. How and why did you choose this title, Witness to Love, and who is it about?
Thank you, Father. This is Ryan. I'm, of course, Mary Rose's husband. It's good to be here. If you have a pen ready, I want to repeat a number and a website a couple of times in case you want to find out a little bit more about this ministry, but it's witnesstolove.org, witnesstolove.org, and the phone number is 337-241-1214, 337-241-1214, 337-241-1214. I just give you those numbers because Witness to Love is something that the Lord placed upon our hearts as a couple 5 years ago when we got active with our pastor in Louisiana to do something about the numbers of divorces that were taking place in our parish. Big problem, right? Because the statistics say a large percentage of marriages end in divorce today, and we need to do something about that. And we found that one of the biggest needs from our own sort of, and also from reading with the church and Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis is saying, is that couples who are preparing for marriage need to be witnessed to. They need the witness of an existing marriage.
Thank you, Ryan. This is Mary Rose, Ryan's wife. And as Ryan said, this book came out of our ministry in our parish. It was something that was never intended to go to other churches or other dioceses, but now it's going to 25 dioceses around the country. It's already being used in 5 dioceses. And within the first week that our book was released, the first week of August, it was sold out on Amazon. And so if you would like to order the book, you can find it at your local Catholic bookstore. Just call ahead and check and see if it's there. Or you can go to Amazon.com and do a search for Witness to Love. Or you can go to St. Benedict Press's website. So it's a great book, and it is for couples who want to share their marriage. They want to walk with other couples. They want to help couples get to where they are, walk them through the difficulties that are part of every marriage, and let couples know that they are not alone. And if you're a couple who feels alone in your marriage, this book is also for you because you can read through it. You can see that you're not alone, and you can reach out to someone else. Give them a copy of this book and get them to walk with you. It could be someone you just admire. You could go to your pastor and ask for a recommendation. But you should never, ever, ever walk alone. So that's why we wrote this book. It's about being a witness and witnessing love. It goes both ways. Everyone needs a witness, and everyone needs to be a witness. So that's really the reason we wrote this book. It's very simple, very practical. The first 6 chapters are about examining your own marriage and growing in it, and then the next 6 chapters are about sharing your witness with others. So wherever you are, whatever your marriage is like, it's for you. Father Tom.
How to help the next generation build marriages and survive and thrive. It's almost like when people come for marriage preparation, and they come to see the priest several times, then it's over. There's nothing else that we have for them. They might come to church, or they might not come to church. For most reasons, they don't come to church. But this is a different program. Tell us how it is different.
Thank you, Father. It's different in a number of ways. Every diocese, many churches have marriage preparation guidelines, standards to go by. And we found in our parish that those standards were not enough to keep couples married and keep them active and involved in their church. So we asked couples to pick their own mentor, pick someone whose marriage they admire, someone who's been married 5 years or more, and ask them to walk with them. They bring that couple to us, and we coach that couple. We encourage that couple and help them to walk with the engaged couple before and after the wedding. They go to church together. They get involved. They pray together. It's beautiful. After the wedding, they still go to church. They still work together and talk about marriage and encourage each other. And it has been a powerful witness in our own community. Before this, we had 4 out of 17 couples getting married in the year get divorced. And since we started this program, no divorces. Couples have problems, they work through them because they have someone to walk with them. They're not walking alone. They're plugged into the church, into the grace of the sacraments, into prayer, and really, it's so simple, but that's the way to do it. That's what makes it work.
One of the things, of course, we're trying to address is this problem that where marriages are not thriving, they're not surviving. So many couples are not persevering, and we sort of ask the question, why is that? I mean, one of the things that we know is essential for marriage to thrive and to survive is working on things such as good communication skills. But also just being connected, of course, to the source of marriage, the source of love, who's Jesus Christ, God our Father, and comes to us right through the graces of the church, sacraments, the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that we see as essential is that couple that's preparing for marriage, somehow they have to create a lifeline to the parish. You can't just say that once, you know, they say I do and I do and they walk out the door that they're going to be back maybe the next Sunday after the honeymoon. That's not necessarily so today. But we know it's essential that couples who pray together, right, stay together. We know that couples who are involved in church and in worship and somehow connected to a community have stronger marriages.
Yes, and they've done a study that showed that the divorce rate for Catholic couples and Christian couples who go to church regularly is around 30%. So it is less than the national average, which is between 40 and 50%. But that goes to 1 in 1,000 for couples who pray together each day and go to church together on Sundays. So if a couple wants a great marriage insurance, praying together, even if it's just for 1 minute a day, makes all the difference. So you want to be the 1 in 30% or the 30% that can get divorced, or do you want to be 1 in 1,000? So that is the best marriage insurance, and that's one of the things that through this program we teach. We teach couples to pray together, not just with each other, but with their mentor couple. And Christ said, anyway, 2 or more are gathered in my name, there I am also. And if 2 agree on something and ask for it in prayer, it will be granted. And we've seen so many times with these couples praying with their mentors, we've seen healing of infertility. They'll pray to be praying together. We've seen a healing in the mentor couple's marriage. We didn't know about it till afterwards that they were asked to be mentors, and they were struggling in their marriage and even discussing divorce. And then they were approached and asked to be a mentor, and it turned their marriage around. It saved their marriage. So getting involved in marriage ministry, reaching out to other couples, it will strengthen your marriage. It will strengthen your faith, and it will strengthen your community, because today everyone is just so isolated. And so it's just a great way of connecting couples to their community, to each other, and to God.
I want to know more about the mentor program. Because, you know, that's a word that's been thrown around lately, and I want to hear in concrete words, what is this mentor program?
Sure, Father, and that's the, they always say, the big question whenever we do our trainings for dioceses or for parishes. They always want to know, how is a mentor picked? How are they trained? How do you follow up with them? What's their role? What is the expectation for them? And how do you equip them to meet those expectations? And so a lot of times we tell them, you know, you're a mentor. You're also a coach. You're not a counselor. You're not expected to be perfect. You're not expected to know everything. But you have been asked to be a witness. You're that credible witness, that imperfect, perfect mentor. Nobody has a perfect marriage, nobody. I haven't met one yet. and if you think you have a perfect marriage, you're in trouble. You haven't talked to your spouse lately. But so we ask engaged couples to pick someone whose marriage they admire. Again, not perfect, but something there they admire. Maybe it's the way they talk to their spouse, talk to their children, the way their children turned out. Something is noticed and admired. And they bring that couple to us, and we sit down with the engaged couple and the mentor in the same room. And we have this beautiful conversation that we've really tested out over the past couple of years of introducing couples to what mentoring is, and how to walk together and how to share their marriage. And we coach them through. We give them questions to discuss. We coach them through discussing that question right there in front of the engaged couple. We give them some pointers. Then we have them share the nugget of that conversation, the most important thing about the answer to that question. They share it with the engaged couple. The engaged couple ask questions. They enter into dialogue. They enter into community, into conversation. They really share the deepest, most profound aspects of their marriage with the engaged couple. And it's just a beautiful bonding takes place. And we kind of coach them through that conversation. We get them started. We give them we have a workbook. It's a virtue-based. It's that we're working with the Catholic Psychological Association, counselors, theologians, but just really to give them the tools that they need, the easiest possible way to walk together, but there's so many beautiful layers to what they're doing, what they're working with. So we give them something they would never otherwise have and give them the opportunity to have that conversation. And then we follow up with them. We have enrichment things for them before and after the wedding, and so that they can really grow.
And this is Ryan. I always enjoy when these couples who are preparing for marriage see an older couple. It could be, you know, a lot older, a little bit older, just witnessing and sharing how they communicate, the things that they struggled with, things ranging from how many children they should have, or communication, or honesty, or pornography. I mean, all of those things that show up in a marriage. And again, if you want to know more about this book, it's witness to love.org, witness to love.org, and the number is 337-241-1214. But again, the mentor couple is essential. I'd like to have now a good friend of ours who's at the table, who's been married for 57 years, who, whether they have recognized it or not, have themselves witnessed and been mentors, you know, with their own marriage to their children, and now basically all the other families that they've gotten to know through the pro-life movement. So I'd like to introduce Eleanor to just share a little bit about her wedding, her marriage, rather, and her witness.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back today, and I'm holding this beautiful book, Witness to Love. I recommend it for people that are thinking of marriage, are married, are having trouble in their marriage. It's a beautiful book to read. It's not pie in the sky. There are a lot of things in here, and you might say, well, I know that, but do you know it? It kind of reminds you of things, and you get back on track. So before, during, even if you're having a little struggle, I recommend the book, Witness to Love. Now, yes, 57 years, imagine. So I'll give you some practical points that's helped me. And, of course, my husband, Joe. I'm married to Joe, and we have 3 children, and we have 6 grandchildren. And we were young when we got married, but we weren't foolish. I was 21, almost, and Joe was 22. But we were not foolish and just jumped in, physical love. We talked about things. We talked about what we wanted in a marriage. We talked about, do we each want children? We happen to be Catholic, and I recommend marriage of the same faith, because marriage brings its ups and downs, and if you don't have to argue about religion and faith, that's one less thing. So if the Lord puts someone of your own religion, I think that is extremely helpful. We talked about finances, just to make sure we're on the same page about that. Different questions you would ask when you're just 21. We dated for 1.5 years. That's also very important, because in that time, you get to see the person and know the person. And hopefully, you become a friend of that person. You know, you've heard people say, I married my best friend, and everybody goes, oh, isn't that nice? But that's true. You don't fall in love right away. You just like the person. You're a friend of the person. You can't wait to see the person. You count the hours till the person comes back again. And I would do anything for that person. And that's how friendship begins. And from friendship, then you fall in love. And that is, I think, well, that's what happened to us. So to marry your best friend, there's nothing better. But in that first year and a half or 2 years, you're looking for red flags. You're looking for possessiveness. You're looking for go out for dinner, and he's expecting you to pay the bill. He watches his money too much. And you think, oh, well, you know, I think he's possessive. He doesn't want me to talk to anybody, but I think he really loves me. That's a red flag. And then you say, well, I'll change him after marriage. You cannot change him after marriage. So you have to remember that. So you fall in love with that person, his idiosyncrasies, his focus, his vision, his person, his soul, his mind. And then you pray that he is the one that God has sent you. So you can't change people, unfortunately. You think you can. And you might be able to influence a little bit. But my secret, okay, what is our secret besides being friends? Our secret is respect for one another. You know how many times people plan a year or 2 years for a wedding, and then they walk down the aisle, and the wedding's over, and they're at the reception, and they go, phew, that's over. We're married. But guess what? It's just the beginning. It's the beginning of a lifetime of love, but with work. You cannot take each other for granted. You must respect each other. You must listen to each other. And what made you fall in love in the beginning, you have to still do. Did you get dressed up at night? Did you put earrings on and lipstick when he came home on a date? You still have to do these things. Did you fix him a good dinner and try to tempt him to marry? Well, then still cook dinners, romantic dinners. Go out on a date together if you have six children. You need to be alone. You need to just be one another. You go out. You don't talk about the children. You talk about each other. You listen to your husband. How are you doing? What's happening in your life? You concentrate on him just like you did when you were courting. And you got dressed like you were courting. And you cook like you were courting. And it's romance. Romance is never dead. I don't care how old you are. You can bring romance back into your marriage. That's a secret. So I'm going to say listening, friendship, respect. And in our day, when we got married, it was we give 50-50. Guess what? The answer is you give 100% to each other. You forget about yourself. You think of him constantly, and he thinks of you. So it's even. You're getting blessed, and you're blessing. So that's a little bit of my secrets. Amen.
Amen. Chapter on saying I do every day. Could you elaborate on that?
Yes, we talk about this often, the need to say I do every day. And what are we saying I do to? We're saying I do to each other. We're saying I will honor, love, cherish, respect, lay down my life, do what you would like to do, along with what we would like to do together. Sharing a life is very, very, very important and essential.
Ryan likes to say that every day you get out of bed and you put your feet on the floor and you decide whether or not the day is going to be about you or about us or about the family. And that's really saying I do every day means living your wedding vows every day. You don't get to pick. Today's not a day that I'm going to keep my wedding vows. Today's a day that is going to be just about me, or I'm going to keep one or two of my wedding vows today, but not the other. So that's really, it's every day. You don't say, I do one time. It's every single day. So, yes.
It's Father Matt Williams here, and I'm a priest of the Archdiocese of Boston, and longtime friends with Ryan and Mary Rose, and was privileged to be at their wedding and receive their vows and hear and walk with them and learn about the Witness to Love program. So from a priest perspective, you know, the typical way by which, you know, we would walk with couples using older traditional models, if you will, for marriage would consist of, you know, a couple gets engaged, they reach out to the parish, and they meet with one of the priests, and the priest would schedule a number of meetings with them, depending on his own curriculum, if you will, of what he's going to cover with them and work with them. You know, usually it's you know, there's a first meeting covers paperwork. Then there might be some kind of a couple inventory that he'd meet with them for. He would send them away some kind of marriage prep program. The Archdiocese of Boston, we have the newly created Transform Love program. And then after that, he'd meet with them again to talk about that, maybe some other things, and then specifically the liturgy itself and the readings and walk with them in that regard. And what I would say that model worked well, you know, 40 or 50 years ago when, you know, the vast majority of Catholics, you know, or probably more than 50% of Catholics would go into church, you know, and where couples were coming from homes where the faith was not just talked about but witnessed, you know. And now we know at least in the Archdiocese of Boston that 17% or maybe even a little less than that of Catholics attend Sunday Mass. So, you know, that means that 17% of the people coming forth for marriage, that's less than 1 in 5 of my couples coming forward, are go to Mass or have any connection with Mass, you know. So we can't assume that structure is in place anymore, that they're coming from a home that lived and breathed and witnessed and modeled the faith, and also from their own perspective of what it means to live that as faith. And so if you think about it, using the old structure that we've been using, we're not meeting them where they're at. We're not. How are we helping to engage, to evangelize them? How are we helping them to experience what a marriage, a Catholic marriage, looks like, the witness of a Catholic marriage, what that looks like, assuming if they're not coming from one. But even if they are, we need others. And then what's their Velcro back into the community, if you will, right? Because if they're just meeting with the priest, which is wonderful, that's not going to get you connected necessarily with the community. I have to, as a priest, like, hand them off to another couple or find a way for them to get connected with other members of the community. Most of the marriage prep programs that I would send them to are not parish-based. They're probably archdiocesan-based. Not necessarily all of them are. Now we've got the Witness to Love. But even still, that's pulling together trained married couples to offer those things that aren't necessarily your parishioners. So then what's the Velcro back in, and how are we actually engaging and meeting them? If you think about Jesus and his model of discipleship, what did he do? He called the 12, and he invested in them. He engaged them. He called them by name. He prayed with them. He handed on to them his entire mission, and then he sent them out. And, you know, that process of engaging and then equipping and then sending out, that's the basic way of how we make disciples in this day and age. We have to engage them, we equip them, and then we send them out. And so we want to see these opportunities, like we call them gateway moments. Gateway moments. A gateway moment is like parents bringing forward kids for baptism or for First Communion, or young or engaged couples coming forward to get married. This is a gateway moment. This is a golden opportunity for a parish to engage these young people and walk with them. Pope Francis, in this hour, has been calling us to a culture of engagement, right? A culture of accompaniment, to go out to the fringes and to meet people and to love them. And in his first encyclical, or second one, the Evangelium Gaudium, in that encyclical, he talks about the reality that evangelization is a marathon, it's not a sprint, that we have to be in it to win it for the long run, to walk with people and to love them and meet them where that. This program so beautifully and brilliantly begins to address the cultural needs, the crisis that we live in at this time, and starting to provide a legitimate remedy by raising up couples in our parish, if you will, by the ones chosen by the engaged couple, who now are going to be equipped and empowered through the parish to walk with this couple. So you get a 2-for-1 win. The couple that's been chosen, the married couple that's been chosen, they're going to be strengthened and built up in their marriage, and they're going to take that next step to evangelize and be disciples of Jesus Christ. And then the engaged couple is going to have a couple that's going to walk with them through this road. It's phenomenal. This is exactly what is needed in this hour if we are going to reverse that 17% Mass attendance, to increase it. And not only that, but renew family life in the country and in the church.
The question is now, this is Ryan, do you have what it takes? That's one of the chapters in our books. You know, so everybody who's listening here, no matter what state of life you're in, what age, there is a need to share your life, to share the blessings of your life, to share what God has done in your life. Please don't sit back wherever you are today. Get engaged in something. And if you're married, please consider taking a look at our website, witnesstolove.org. The number again is 877-241-1214. Sign up for our newsletter, but more importantly, share your life. Share your life, your heart, your gifts. People approaching the altar today, you go to a wedding, sometimes you're a little confused. What is this all about? But what if they were stepping up to the altar and realized that they were encountering and getting prepared and stepping up to the plate for this adventure with God and this life of love and service, of sacrifice? It's not easy, it's not perfect, but it's worth it.
And when Jesus comes again, it will be the marriage feast of the Lamb. It will be the marriage feast of the Lamb, that marriage is the sign of eternity. It takes three to make a marriage. You need Jesus in your marriage. It takes three to make a marriage. You need Jesus Christ in your marriage. I'm asking people to go to witnesstolove.org and see what's happening in this book and how you can strengthen your marriage, how you can strengthen what's going on in your marriage. And, you know, it's time to say goodbye. So in the name of Jesus, may you be blessed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.